May I say it's a joy to be here in Coleraine tonight, and I'm going to take my watch off. I see Trevor must have heard my. I have a name about being long-winded, and he left his watch here for me. I was going to take mine off, but I don't need to now. And Trevor called me to ask if I would come tonight. I asked him how long should I testify for, and I won't tell you how long he told me, but it was very generous. But I always keep in mind the advice that Dr. S.B. Cook gave us when we were going through the Whitfield. And he said, better cut your message shorter and have the people wish that you'd gone on longer than to go on longer and have the people wish you'd gone a wee bit shorter. So I promise I won't keep you too long tonight. Let us say it is a joy to be able to come to Coleraine. It's always a joy to speak a word for the Lord. He's done so much for us. And it's not an easy thing to speak publicly, but how can we refuse in the light of what Christ has done for us? I'm just going to read a short verse first of all before I come to my testimony. It's found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 22, and the verse 22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. And it is a joy to be able to declare the name of the Lord unto you tonight, and in the midst of this congregation in Coleraine, to praise his name for what he has done for me in my life. As you can probably tell from my accent, I'm not from around these parts, even though I'm living in the Sharking at the moment. I'm originally from Liverpool, over in England, and I grew up there. I was the youngest of four girls. And then when I was about 9 years old, I had a little brother come along. It was not a religious home, not by any means. I remember when we were smaller that my mom sent us to Sunday school to a local Church of England. It was on the street where we lived, so we didn't have to go far. I don't think, looking back, it was because she was herself religious or felt that we needed to have church upbringing. I think it was just a case of get the four children out of the house for at least for an hour on a Sunday morning to give me some peace and quiet. It was a divided home. My father left the home when I was about 2 years old, so I don't really know much about him. And so my mom was left to rear her four daughters the best she could. Now, when I say it was not a religious home, it wasn't in the religion that we know it today, but in a sense it was religious. We had two basic religions in our house. The first one was the Orange Order. I was a member of the Orange Order from, I think, the first day that I was born. I had my first parade when I was about 4 years old, and I was in the Orange Order until I was about 18. Every friend that I had was from the Orange Order. Every place I went had connections with the Orange Order, and it was very much a big part of my life. The other religion was football. I guess coming from a city like Liverpool, you have to be interested in football. And I know there are two football teams in Liverpool, but there's really only one good one. And I was an ardent supporter. I loved football. I lived for football. I never missed a game. And my school that I went to boarded onto the Liverpool football stadium. So every lunchtime, a group of us would go up to the stadium and meet the players and chat to them. And we just thought this was wonderful. And my walls at home were covered with football pictures. And I just loved football. I still do, but not as much. Now, my early years were nothing extraordinary. According to me, at those days, I was a good girl. I wasn't too much into anything bad. I never did drugs. I was never with a gang. I never drank in my early years. But I never gave much thought to God. I never gave any thought to religion. Even though I was in the Orange Order, my religion was Protestantism, and I was happy with that. And so I basically went through life not thinking about religion at all. But I thank the Lord tonight that though I wasn't thinking about him, he was thinking about me. And the Lord was striving with me even through those early years. Now, at the time, I was not conscious that it was the Lord. It's only looking back now that I know it was the Lord. You see, if I was asked to sum up my life in my early teens, I could give it in one word. and that's fear. There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 2 and the verse 15, and it talks about those who the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That was me. I had the fear of death. I was terrified at the thought of dying one day. I remember waking whole nights, couldn't sleep, thinking of the fact that one day I was going to die. I remember distinctly one Sunday evening, and I don't know what got me thinking about it, but maybe it was a conversation, maybe it was something on the TV about death, but I remember literally breaking out in a cold sweat, and it was in the summertime, and I had to go and stand by the open window just to try and cool down, because I was just so terrified. I was gripped with this fear that there was going to come a day and I was going to die. Now, I thought that I was going to heaven. I wasn't religious, but I did believe in a heaven, and I did believe in a hell. And in my own thinking, I was going to heaven because I wasn't mapped up in anything that was bad, that I was what you would call a good girl. And I had no doubts of the fact that, yes, I would go to heaven. But this fear of death gripped me. I was in bondage. Whole days, whole nights, if anybody brought up the subject of dying or anything like that, I'd try and change the conversation. And if I couldn't do that, I would just have to leave the room altogether. It terrified me so much. Now, in 1983, there was a mission in the Liverpool Free Presbyterian Church. And my sister, who had recently been saved, attended the church, and she invited me to go this one night. Now, I had nothing to do that night, and I didn't like to stay home, because when I stayed home, invariably, I'd always got to thinking about death, and I always tried to fill my days with other things and my thoughts with other things so that I wouldn't think about death. And so the last thing I wanted was a quiet night home. So when my sister invited me to church, it wasn't the first place I would have chosen, but at least I was getting out the house. At least I would be getting my thoughts of the fact of death. And so I went along to the mission at the Liverpool Free Presbyterian Church. As soon as I walked into the church that night, I immediately felt a difference. The Sunday school that I had attended when I was small was the Church of England. It was cold. It was dark. In all the time that I'd gone, maybe 2-3 years, I never once remember anybody speaking to me, shaking my hand, or even the minister coming down and saying, "Oh, hello, what's your name?" But within 5 minutes of setting foot into the church in Liverpool, I'd had my hand shaken about 10 times, people welcoming me to the church. That made a great impression. And when somebody comes to the house of God, a stranger, somebody for the first time, don't ever underestimate the power of a smile, of an hello. "It's good to see you out today," a shaken hand. It works wonders with people. It speaks to people, and it spoke to me that very first night. I thought, this is a nice place. This is different from what I have been used to. And so even after the end of the mission, I continued going on to the church every Sunday morning. I wouldn't have missed church at all. And I carried on going. But you know, when I started going, and when I sat under the ministry of the Reverend Hillis Fleming, the Lord really began to speak to me. And if I had been afraid before of death, now I was terrified. You see, as I sat under the preaching, I realized that I was a sinner. Romans 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." They were my excuse of, "Oh, well, I'm a good girl." In the sight of God, I was not a good girl. In the sight of God, I was a sinner. And that terrified me, because then I also learned from Romans chapter 6 and the verse 23, the wages of sin is death. And not just death, but eternal death in hell. Now you can imagine what that did to me. In bondage to fear of death all my life, and yet thinking I was going to heaven, suddenly to be told that no, I was going to spend eternity in hell because I was a sinner. I was terrified. But then also that verse says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I knew I needed to be saved. because the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you know, the old devil was subtle, and he kept telling me, oh, Thelma, you're too young. You don't need to worry about getting saved. What will your friends think? How are you going to tell your friends that you've got saved? They're not going to be having anything to do with you from this point on. So I kept pushing it back and pushing it back. But all the time I was becoming more miserable, more afraid, because now I saw my true reality of facing eternity without Christ. In January of 1984, Dr. Paisley came over to Liverpool for another mission. And it was on the Sunday morning of the 22nd of January 1984, Dr. Paisley spoke. To be honest, I can't even remember what he spoke on, but he gave an appeal afterwards, and I knew that I had sat still too long, that I had to get right with God. And so on that Sunday morning at 20 after 12, on January 22nd, 1984, I came and called upon the name of the Lord. And I thank the Lord that he heard my call that night. He didn't turn a deaf ear. Even though I had turned a deaf ear for many years to him and to his voice and to his calling to me, I had turned a deaf ear. I had turned away. I didn't want to hear. But God, I only had to call to him once, and he heard me. And not only did he hear me, he answered me. And he came into my heart. And you know, brethren, from that moment on, I had no fear of death anymore. I could say with the Apostle Paul, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Death is nothing to fear for the child of God. It lasts but a second. It's eternity, and eternity with the Lord, that makes all the difference. If you're a child of God tonight, you thank the Lord that you need not fear death. We've actually had a funeral today in our church in Wishark, and a dear brother and a dear friend of mine went to be with the Lord this past Thursday. I was with him in the hospital about 2 hours before he passed away, and it was just the two of us, and I said, Tommy, you're not afraid? And he said, no. He had nothing to be afraid of. The Lord was going to be with him every step of the way. The Lord was going to carry him over the Jordan, and he could face death with assurance, with hope, and some respects with joy, because he knew he was going to see the face of his Saviour very, very soon. Maybe there's one here tonight, and you, like me, have been afraid of death. You don't like to think of it, but you need to think of it. Time is so short. I was with Tommy last Saturday night. He was in the hospital, but he was strong. And I said to him, I'll see you next Saturday. And within 4 days, he was gone. It was very, very fast. Not one of us can boast ourselves of tomorrow. You may not be here tomorrow to get right with God. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And there's only one way that you can get rid of your fear, and it's to have trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when he comes in, he gives you that peace that passeth all understanding. And that peace will be with you every step of the way. And so I would pray that if you're not saved, that tonight you will call upon the Lord while he may be found and while he is near. My salvation, or my testimony, I should say, doesn't end with salvation. It's not all about justification. The sanctification as well. God not only saves, he keeps. And if I was to tell you of the ways that God has looked after me since that day he saved me, I'd be here for eternity. I can't tell you enough of what the Lord has done for me and for my life. He called me into full-time service, which is the greatest privilege any child of God can have. It was about 2 months after I got saved, I began to pray, Lord, what would thou have me to do? The Lord had given me eternal life. I wanted to give something back. I didn't have much to give, but I had myself. And I said, Lord, I'm nothing, but whatever you want me to do, I'll do. So when the Lord called me into the Whitfield College of the Bible, I went. I went over on the boat from Liverpool to Belfast with £10 in my purse. I didn't have the funds for college at that time. I think the fees were about £2,000 a year. My family were not wealthy by any means. I didn't have the finances. I went on the call of God. And I said, Lord, you've called me, I'm going, and you have to provide for me while I'm there. My fees were always paid on time. I remember when the fees had to be paid in, I'd get down on my knees before the Lord and say, Lord, I need this semester's fees. I don't have a penny to my name. You're going to have to do something. And I'd go downstairs and the matron would call me into the office and she'd say, Thelma, I just had a phone call. Somebody's paid your next semester's fees. I went through two years of college and I didn't pay one cent or one penny to my fees. I don't even know where the money came from. I don't even know who paid for my fees. God did. I know that much. God honored me because I had honored him. And if God is calling you to do something, maybe it means sacrifice. Let me tell you, there's nothing in this life that is worth holding on to. There is no sacrifice too great for the Lord. He has given us himself. He has given us eternal peace. And whatever he asks you to do, even if it means sacrifice, you do it. One of my very favorite verses of the Bible is Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And I would leave this verse here with every child of God tonight. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. At this time of the year, you are thinking of presents. We stress ourselves out. What present can I get so-and-so? What present can I get this one? What shall I do? You know, the best present that you can give is yourself to God. To give him your whole heart. We are to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. Not to hold anything back. For the child of God tonight, present your bodies to the Lord. Present it as a living sacrifice. Holy. Are we holy enough for the Lord to use? Do we have clean hands? Is our heart pure enough for God to use? Holy, acceptable unto God. Take stock of your life, child of God. Is it acceptable to God? Do you know that you are living in the full plan and purpose of God for you? Nothing else will suffice but utmost obedience, which is our reasonable service. In the light of Calvary, we must give him our all. I trust these words will be a blessing and will speak to hearts.